Telephone Network Theater presents its 1991 copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
My name is Swinton Gold, former keeper of Egyptian and Assyrian antiquities at the British Museum, a vocation that, curiously enough, prepared me for my adventures with Minerva Holmes, the illegitimate daughter of the late Sherlock Holmes. I'd always been a passionate admirer of Sherlock Holmes during his life, so it was entirely natural that I was irresistibly drawn by the rumor that filled London in 1907 that Sherlock Holmes had sired an out-of-wedlock, half-Indian daughter, who was now belatedly following in his footsteps. Another Holmes! I and thousands of other Londoners were ecstatic. We wanted to see if she had her father's mettle, and if she inherited any of his genius for the game. I had no intentions of becoming her companion and chronicler, but fate has its way of determining the course of one's life. It was to be. After a demanding first meeting with Minerva, I was enamored, so thoroughly drawn to her, I resigned my position at the British Museum and placed myself completely at her disposal. Though my devotion to Minerva was never requited, I was overjoyed to have shared her company during her short, tragic career, filled with so many keen adventures and missed opportunities. Her memory will be with me for the rest of my life. Minerva, in many ways, was the opposite of her father. Sherlock was noted for his power of deductive reasoning. Minerva was not deductive in the least. Instead, she had an ability to put herself into the criminal's mind, to act as he would act. Oh, it was a dangerous and exciting method, one that took her into the heart of criminality, a dangerous gift that led her to a dark side, a side her father had also occasionally exhibited during his lifetime. But hers was deeper and more sinister, and on occasion it almost cost us our lives and put us at odds with the law. At any rate, at the beginning, those dark moods and possessions were only occasional. For the most part, Minerva was most happy when she was on a case. Oh, it seemed to me at those times she was at one with her father, for the case was their essence. Do not misunderstand me. She had no love for her father. She often said so, and would have me believe it. For she often called him the scoundrel, the bohemian, and her sharpest epithet, the Englishman. But behind the bluster, there was an unfulfilled longing to have known him and to have shared her childhood with him. But let me tell you how it all began. It started with the case of the Golden Key. It was Minerva's first and most intimate assignment, and it drove her to her limits. I had met her in the middle of the case, and its effects on her were even then evident. Later, it was to haunt her and me through all of her other cases. The case of the Golden Key not only brought the return of the evil dwarf magician Cho Bin and his assassins of Tai to England, but it also led to the wanton murder of Dr. Watson and the running to ground of a helpless, terrified, and tormented Minerva Holmes. Oh, it's a case I shudder to tell.
Tomorrow, Episode 2, Wake Watson, on The Adventures of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 2, Wake Watson, of its 1991 copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
1 year to the day of the death of Sherlock Holmes, a still-grieving Dr. Watson was awakened by a voice from the past.
Dr. Watson, wake up.
Huh? Who's there? Holmes, is that you?
It's Cho Bin.
I dream a horrible dream of mean and malevolent spirit. Remove your mask. Let me see you.
Look at death. Where Holmes stranded me, I spare your heart.
And for good reason he left you there.
No one should be left in the shadows. Soon, my dear Dr. Watson, you will see what I mean.
Death does not frighten me. And because of Holmes, you have no dominion over it.
Not now, but I will once you help me get the golden key.
Golden key?
Your beloved Holmes kept one secret from you. He did not want you burdened with it, as it burdened him, even to the point of using cocaine.
A secret? Holmes held no secret he kept from me, and his experiments with cocaine was from an inquisitive mind.
Oh, inquisitive mind or guilty conscience? Holmes had a daughter with an Indian woman, a child for which he took no responsibility. Today, she is a young woman, and unless you do exactly as I tell you, my assassins will execute her in exactly 14 hours.
Huh? Holmes had no daughter.
You will go to the Queen's Hospital in Mountshire. You will tell the birth registrar who you are and ask to see the birth records of a Minerva Holmes.
Rubbish! I will do no such thing.
You will say it is of extreme importance. The birth records will show a Minerva Holmes who was born to Sherlock Holmes and Lashima Singh.
Preposterous!
You will secure a copy of the birth certificate and go directly to 3716 Manchester Road in South London, where Minerva now lives with her stepfather, Ras Dasgupta.
Absurd!
However, you will find Mr. Gupta, a wealthy Indian merchant, dead, murdered, just before you arrive. If you choose not to go, or are late, the assassins of Tai will take my revenge on Minerva in the most horrible way. Act, Doctor. There is no Holmes to save her, only you.
Magician, go away. Furthermore, it is impossible. The distance between the hospital and Ras Dasgupta's home is too great by coach.
Did I say 14 hours? I meant 10.
Eh? What? No, he's gone. Oh, dear Holmes, it is only an old man's dreaming. But I dare not dismiss it. For you, old friend, I must try.
Tomorrow, Watson's Ordeal on The Adventure of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 3 of its 1991 copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
It is with a heavy heart that I relate to you of the death of Dr. Watson. Alarmed by his dream encounter with Chobin, Dr. Watson hurriedly dressed and hailed a carriage to take him to Queen's Hospital.
The records are confidential, Doctor. But how could I refuse you?
It is of the utmost importance to the survival of England. Give me a minute, will you? Yeah. It is true. Holmes did have a daughter. By Jove, I recognize Holmes' signature on the birth certificate. What's this? An unopened letter addressed to Holmes. It still bears the scent of a delicate perfume.
I'm sure it was not there before. It must be a mistake.
Madam, you must permit me to open this letter. It may contain the answers I'm looking for.
Well, I suppose I shouldn't. It's against regulations. But you have already promised to keep it confidential.
I have given my word, ma'am. My darling Sherlock, Chobin has sent his assassins to take me and the baby away. If I don't go with them, he has power to kill you instantly. I know this to be true. I can bear my fate, but it is you and the child I worry about. I beg you not to think of us always, and not to search for us. It would be too risky for the child. You must get on with your life. You must prevent Chobin from ever getting the golden key and realize his dream of executing Britain's royal family. Also, forgive me for involving you in this horrible of horrible affairs. Forgive me for secreting this letter in Minerva's birth records. Yes, Minerva. I wanted her to have an English name. It is the only place I could leave it with any hopes of it not being found by the assassins. I hope and pray you will find this letter and understand. I love only you and the darling daughter you have given me. Goodbye, my darling. Don't give in to despair. I shall always remember you. Makshima.
Watson held the letter that Holmes never saw, and the weight of the situation fell upon his shoulders. He vowed he would do everything he could to save Holmes' daughter. Watson returned to his waiting cab and urged the driver to greater speeds.
Faster, man, faster. Two lives depend on it.
Oi, oi there, governor. If we go any faster, four lives will be in ruin. The horse is going as fast as he can. And if I don't ride him, then we will overturn.
We must chance it.
Oh, is that right, governor? And what of me family?
We may already be too late.
Ah, logs are deleted. I can't stop. We're going over.
The carriage overturned. The wheels spun on its side. Dr. Watson lay unconscious and badly hurt. A hideous laugh pierced the night air. Cho Bin had taken revenge on Holmes. And now Minerva Holmes and the Golden Key were the only things that lay between Cho Bin and his goal of assassinating Britain's royal family.
Tomorrow, Minerva. On the adventure of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 4 of its 1991 copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Dr. Watson opened his eyes. His body ached. He could barely breathe. He tried to move and could not. He remembered the accident. He felt a soft, damp cloth on his brow.
Where am I?
You're at the home of Mr. Dasgupta. We heard your carriage overturned and found you and the driver on the road. Oh, don't move. You've been hurt badly. My father has gone for the doctor. He will be here shortly.
And the driver?
He's dead. There's nothing we could have done for him.
Dead? It is my fault.
It was an unfortunate accident. You must be quiet.
There is no time. You and your father must leave this house at once. At once. At once.
You are in shock. You are safe here.
Chobin's assassins will be here to kill your father.
You are delirious. No one is coming. It is safe here.
You must listen to me. There isn't time. I am Dr. Watson, Sherlock Holmes' former companion. I came to see you about a matter of life and death and the future of England. But if you do not leave this house at once, it will be in vain.
Please, calm yourself.
You are Minerva Dasgupta?
Yes.
If you review your birth record from Queen's Hospital, you will see that you are the true and only daughter of Sherlock Holmes, the great detective.
I'm aware I was adopted. My parents made that clear to me. My real father was an English sailor who abandoned my mother. But I don't...
Rubbish! Sherlock Holmes is your father, and you were placed here in order to placate a mad, powerful, evil magician who will settle for nothing less than the murder of the king himself. And for some reason, you hold the key to whether he succeeds or not.
If that is true, why would he kill me? Doctor, as a result of your accident, you are in shock.
I am in pain, child. My faculties are full. I am a physician. And if you will not save yourself, then for the sake of your father, send him on an errand immediately.
In an Indian household, a daughter has no such authority. But to satisfy you, I will lock the door until the doctor arrives.
It will be too late for us all. Look into my waist pocket. There is a small pistol. Conceal it on your person. Whatever you do, do not hesitate to use it to save your life. Minerva, you must go to Holmes' old residence on 221B Baker Street. I am sure he left something for you. Something that will explain this. Look for it.
I am sure you will know what to look for. It is there. Come close.
Doctor,
please.
Sherlock must have known this would happen.
At last, Dr. Watson. My father and the physician are here. I will let them in.
Tomorrow, Assassin of Ty, on the adventure of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 5, Assassin of Ty, of its copyrighted 1991 production of Minerva Holmes in the Adventures of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Minerva screamed in terror, for a huge man walked through the door, a bloody cutlass in his hand.
You must not scream.
Don't come near me. I have a gun. And my father is coming.
Your stepfather is dead. And so is the doctor he was bringing.
Oh, God!
Rashdas Gupta, for the wealth he accumulated, has paid his debt to Tobin. Now you are old enough to find the golden key and return it to my master so he can return from the shadows.
The murderer! My father! My poor father!
You have 48 hours to get the golden key, or you and your mother will die.
My mother? My mother!
Tobin is merciful. He has kept your mother alive all these years as a reward for your finding and returning the golden key to him.
Where should I look?
Before Sherlock Holmes died, he hid the key. Only you would know where to find it. The key in exchange for your mother.
I don't know where to look or how. What does it open? Tell me. Tell me.
In 48 hours, I will return with your mother. You must have the key, or you and your mother will die a horrible death.
But you must help me. Tell me who you are.
I am the Assassin of Ty.
Let me speak to your master.
You will in time, if you are successful.
Assassin, I have lived a sheltered life in England. I know little of the outside world. The job of finding the key is too much for me. A woman alone, especially a half-Indian woman in England? I'll be ostracized, tormented, and rejected. No one will help me. I do not wish to live. Now that my father is dead, kill me now, assassin. I will not look for a key, not for you nor Chauvin.
You will look for the key, wretched daughter of Sherlock Holmes, and you will want to avenge your father's death. And your mother, she is alive. You will understand and realize you have no choice. Chauvin has taken choice from you. 48 hours, Minerva. 48 hours.
Wait, assassin. Tell your master this. If I find the key, I will not have it with me. In 48 hours, your master must come to me, wherever I am, with my mother. And I will tell him where to find the key.
My master can only come from the shadows for brief moments. You will do exactly as you are told.
Enough. It is done, Minerva. But you bear watching. Be careful, my child. Be careful.
I will find your key, Sheldon. And the world you and Sherlock Holmes has created will not engulf me.
So be it.
Monday, 221B Baker Street. On the adventure of the Golden Key, call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 6, 221B Baker Street, of its copyrighted 1991 production of Minerva Holmes in the Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Who's knocking? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. The museum's closed. The caretaker is not here. Just me, the charwoman.
Minerva Rasnas. Minerva Holmes.
Holmes. Fanciful name taken on.
I'm the daughter of the late Sherlock Holmes.
Blimey, no one knew the master had a daughter. Half Indian, are you? Striking resemblance.
Kindly let me in. I have to see my father's living quarters. It is most urgent. Lives depend upon it.
Well, the Holmes Museum don't open to the public. Thank you, ma'am. Until 9 a.m. But since you say you're his daughter, I could make an exception.
Thank you, Mrs...
Aspirin Sadie. That's me because I sell aspirin. Charwoman's pay's not enough to keep my family.
Mrs. Sadie, since my father died, has anything been touched, removed, changed in any way?
I would have none of that. My job is to see that everything remains in its place, dusted nice and clean. Here is his room, and through that door was Dr. Watson's room. He's retired now, in Kensington, I think. Never visits now.
This is my father's leather chair. And the pipe on the mantel, yes?
With his favorite black tobacco and his sofa. He slept there when he was on a case indulging in...
Yes, I have heard. Those papers near the fireplace, how did they get there?
Funny about them. He left them there. Used to read all the morning papers, but he stopped April 17th, 1914. Those were the last newspapers he ever read. Threw them on the floor and quit reading. I think it was his eyes. He was going blind.
May I see them?
Oh, ma'am, it would cost me my job.
It is very important to me. I know so little about him.
Providing you put them back in their place?
Just old news. And look, recently smoked Bradley cigarettes.
That's a shame. The tourists. What are you looking for?
Something a father who had never seen his daughter might leave her to find. Something small, a memento, a letter.
Oh, that's easy, ma'am. In the umbrella urn.
The umbrella urn?
I often wondered about it.
Yes, I see. It's the only lady's parasol in the lot. But would that be unusual?
Well, your father never entertained ladies. It's as if he was waiting for its rightful owner.
Yes, I see.
Oh, what is it? You look faint.
When I touched the handle, I felt a prick. Look, a name scratched on the handle.
It's just been in your father's living quarters.
The Briny Inn.
Oh, you wouldn't want to go there, ma'am. Not for a lady. The devil's pub it is. Even the constables don't go there unless they have to.
Sadie, you must tell me where it is.
Marvin Lane? Worst section of London.
Thank you, Sadie.
Take the parasol with you. I'm sure Mr. Holmes would have wanted you to have it.
But won't they miss it?
They won't miss it.
Tomorrow, the Briny Inn. On the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 7 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
With parasol in hand, Minerva took a carriage to the Briny Inn, against the admonition of the driver. Once there, Minerva alighted. The cab sped off. She walked into the dank, dark, evil-smelling inn, amidst the surprised stares and mutterings of its waterfront patrons.
Are you the proprietor, sir?
I be that. And you? Be you an East Indian lassie? Now, what would you be doing in this rogue's corner of London, eh? Would you be looking for a seaman? Oh, a companion, eh? Or be you just lost?
I hear this is Sherlock Holmes' favorite pub. I am his daughter, Minerva. And I am finishing one of his cases.
Oh, aye. His daughter be, eh? Now, Mr. Holmes was a gentleman that forswore women. The resemblance is there, but... Well, I believe you, lassie. How can I be an help to you?
Did you know my father's habits when he was here?
Oh, I knew them well. He always come in disguise. He didn't fool me, but stand over there at the bar. Idly touched a drink he did. He pretended drunkenness. It was that figure fascinated him. The one over at the bar. The little wooden Egyptian man. Ushabti, I think they call it. The Edens believed it would come to life in the afterworld. To do their biddings for them, you know. Never a peep out of it since it's been here. But your father would stare at it for hours. Never saying a word until one evening a man come in. A tall, dark man dressed in oriental Malaysian dress. Walked over to the Ishapti and said some frightening words he did. Everyone in the season bar grew quiet. Waiting for the devil to come himself. I were that frightened myself. And I'm a man who fears no one. The heathen idol moved. It moved. Panic took us all except for Mr. Holmes. He bounced on the man, disguised and all, flying every which way. But the man was too strong for Mr. Holmes, pinned him, he did, and ran away. Never come back. Mr. Holmes left after telling us it were a trick. We didn't believe him, but we didn't move the Ushabti either. Been standing there in the same spot. Figured it were best to leave things the way they was, you know. Mr. Holmes never come back either. Neither did the heathen, but shame. I kind of like Mr. Holmes. He were a curious man. Out of place word. Out of place here.
What words did the man say?
It were an incantation. Oh, holy key, oh, golden key, something like that. Did mention Abydos and Narma, Egyptian things, killing things about life and death. Heathen, unchristian things. I cost myself because it'd be chilling to think of it. Maybe I should get it. But I don't want to touch it myself.
May I borrow it? Bring me a chair. It is harmless. I will have it back in a fortnight. It bears heavily on my father's last case.
Oh, aye. You can keep it, lass. And good riddance. Wouldn't touch it myself. Aye. That is the Holmes blood in you.
My Indian blood, sir.
Minerva took the Ushabti and wrapped it in a cloth and brought it to me at the British Museum for evaluation. Oh, little did I know.
Tomorrow, companions, on the case of the Golden Key, call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 8 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
With Ushabti wrapped in plain paper, bundled under her left arm, and her parasol in her right hand, Minerva stepped briskly through the muddy streets of London, pausing at every curb to awkwardly raise her sari. "Indian slut!" came the chants of the groups of ragamuffin English children. Minerva ignored the racial epithets and continued to Mensington Square for the tram to Great Russell Street and Bury Street, for her first meeting with me, then keeper of Egyptian and Assyrian antiquities.
Dear Mr. Gold, my behavior may seem most unusual for me to waken you at such an early hour. How I find your place of residence is unimportant. My needs are most pressing. In your hands you have my birth certificate. It is my passport. I hope to get civil and respectable treatment since I am not only an Indian subject of the crown, but the daughter of the late Sherlock Holmes.
Who would ever believe Sherlock Holmes would have a child? A man who studiously avoided romantic contact. Never, not once, a breath of scandal. Now that he's dead and left no apparent heirs. A daughter. A lovely, delightful Indian daughter. I am charmed and delighted and completely at your disposal.
You've calmed my deepest fears.
And you have brightened my life. Keeper of Antiquities is exciting only for the first 15 years. After that, it becomes as rewarding as a night watchman at a mausoleum. Your father, Sherlock Holmes' methods and adventures have been a lifelong inspiration to me. Oh, I've been a devotee of his, and God bless him, Dr. Watson, through his journals. I've followed every adventure of the master. I have used his methods to solve a few petty crimes myself.
Sir, I must be abrupt. Dr. Watson has been murdered by a man called Chauvin. A dwarf, I think, an occult magician. Chauvin, like Professor Moriarty, has been locked in a lifelong battle of wits with Sherlock Holmes. As a result, many people have died. Now he holds my mother hostage, and somehow I am in the center of it all. The Englishman, whom I regrettably call my father, has been of no filial assistance to my mother and me. And so I do not share your enthusiasm for him. Candidly, I feel my life would have been better off had my true parentage remained anonymous. Posthumously, Sherlock Holmes has been responsible for the murder of my beloved stepfather, and I have not had time to have given him a proper mourning or burial. Chauvin has given me 48 hours to find a certain key called the Golden Key to release him from the shadow world, or else my mother and I, and perhaps England's royal family, will face horrible consequences. I fear only for my mother, who may still be alive. That is why I'm here. I have one piece of evidence which I am unwrapping, an Ushabti, an Egyptian funeral piece which you may identify and give me some background. I beg your indulgence. Will you help me?
Well, of course. I'm at your academic disposal.
An Indian woman traipsing around alone in London is never secure nor free from English prejudice. I do not have the freedom to go to places and to do things my father did. I need more than just your academic assistance, Mr. Gold. I need you as an assistant, without pay, of course. But to get to the bottom of this will take fortitude and courage. My intuition tells me that you are indeed ready for such a temporary change of vocation. Am I correct?
Miss Holmes, I am...
Minerva, please.
Oh, to take leave of absence from my position?
Then I was wrong, sir. Forgive me.
I would need a week or two to wind up my affairs.
Tonight, sir.
Minerva... Miss Holmes... The Ushabti you have belongs to the first dynasty, Narma, or Menes, and it has a twin. Everything in the ancient Egyptian religion has balance. Now, this Ushabti indeed knows of a key, the golden key which opens the way to the netherworld of which you speak. The twin opens the way back from the netherworld.
With that, Minerva Holmes and Swinton Gold entered into a relationship that would bring them face to face with death, evil, and conspiracy. Tomorrow, beginnings on the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 9 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Minerva, obviously the return of man from death has never been accomplished, and neither has any Egyptian magic proven viable. If we use the same methodology as Sherlock Holmes, I am sure we would find a rational reason for what's been occurring. For example, Sherlock Holmes was probably on a secret mission for the crown in India, and...
Where would you find the other Ushabti?
Oh, the third floor, Egyptian antiquities at the British Museum.
Are you familiar with it?
Oh, very.
On the back of that Ushabti, is there an inscription?
The symbol of Ra Atum, the sun god of Egypt.
And on this one?
The symbol of Set.
Set?
The legend's quite complicated, but in loose terms, Set would be the symbol for evil.
Why so much Egyptian when Chauvin is Malaysian Chinese and I Indian?
Oh, these cultures are all linked. The Egyptian priests went out into the areas after Cambyses the Persian conquered Egypt and persecuted the priests, who then started these Eastern religions.
The Englishman?
Sherlock Holmes traveled extensively throughout Asia.
Then we must find the lair of the assassins of Tai. Are you familiar with the name?
Well, Indian archaeology is not my forte. But if I remember correctly, the Assassins of Tai are a name given to a loose band of rural murderers and cutthroats in Uttar Pradesh, northern India.
My stepfather, Rasnath Gupta, is from there.
Oh, they worship an Indian deity, Kam. Each assassin is initiated into the fellowship if you call it that, through a series of horrible disfigurements. When and if they complete the rites, they become murderers without pity or remorse. They're loyal to no one but each other, and I suppose Chobin.
Excellent, Swinton. Now, would there be any temples in England?
They have such a place of worship in South Swain Street. The police loathe to go there. The smell, I'm told, of death pervades the compound. Although they've never been implicated in any actual murder, bodies horribly mutilated have been known to wash up ashore on our beaches.
Then there is where we shall go.
Minerva, I'm not a doctor, Watson. I must have a reason before we go places.
I have no reason. I only know it is the place we must go. And we must go tonight. There are no other clues worthy of our pursuit. Except what stares us in the face.
But what of your safety?
I am safe until we get the key or the pieces fall into place.
And I?
If you travel with me, you are safe until we get the key. Protocol is what we must maintain. And Swinton, I depend upon you to see as I can't. With your trained eye, you are of value to this whole endeavor, and you are not a Dr. Watson.
I shall accompany you to the temple. What of this Ushabti?
I shall leave it here, the perfect place for it. The stanchion over there, give it to me. I will wrap that as the Ushabti, and we shall proceed. Obviously, they will think that we still possess the Ushabti.
You've been followed?
Of course.
Minerva, do we need a weapon?
For now, no, but later we will.
What is it?
We must have a sword. I don't know why, but get a sword.
Tomorrow, the end of the beginning. On the case of the Golden Key, call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 10 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
With high hopes mixed with fear, I accompanied Minerva to the Temple of Cam. It was a fateful day for the two of us.
Enter, High Priestess.
My name is Minerva Rasnagupta, Holmes, and my companion, Swinton Gold.
You travel with the unbeliever, but you are welcome here. What is it we may do for you?
I seek a key, a golden key, associated with your religion.
You are one of many who seek the sacred key. They come in droves seeking eternal life. It is only a legend. We are only bland practitioners of our religion. The English carefully curtail us, but you may enter and see for yourself.
Thank you.
Yes, it is an ornate place, decked in oriental statues, art and symbols, and if I may add, superstition.
Follow me down this corridor to the center of the temple. There, like so many others before, you may see and read the inscription of the key. High Priestess.
You insist on calling me High Priestess. Why?
You so resemble our goddess, Kamana.
I am sure I am no different in appearance than any other ordinary English Indian woman.
And I suppose I resemble Chobin?
Dare you defile the magician!
Priestess and magician! Rubbish! Band of cutthroats, utterly unredeemable. The police know we are here, and if we are not out of here in 15 minutes, this place will be subject to search and to be closed for good.
Protocol, Swinton.
Yes, the authority of the English. You have nothing to fear.
That shadow behind the curtain.
What shadow?
A giant Komodo dragon.
Your mind plays tricks. It is only the incense.
And what of that sound? The urination of a huge beast and an awful smell. It's suffocating.
Calm yourself, Swinton. Everything here is done for effect. Is that correct?
I smile at you, priestess. Have you been here before? Have you seen this temple in your metaphors, perhaps?
Yes.
I am glad. So glad. What lies ahead? Tell me quickly.
A royal chamber. No, a horror chamber.
Yes. Yes, yes. Assassins! Seize this man and hold him here. He is to go no further.
Do not resist, Swinton. They will not harm you, nor I. We are safe. Remember protocol.
Oh, High Priestess, we have waited so long, so long.
I must warn you, I am not your High Priestess. I am part English and the daughter of Sherlock Holmes.
The Master told us to prepare.
Then do as you are told. But first, you must answer a question.
Yes, High Priestess.
Was Sherlock Holmes, was he here? Am I correct?
Yes, the impotent one was here.
And what happened?
We did not harm him, Priestess. Another one of his many disguises. He thought he would fool us.
And you allowed him to leave?
After we took some liberties with him.
Liberties?
We took him to the Hall of Mirrors, where we confused him with sound and light until he became a babbling idiot.
Yes?
And then we humiliated him and set him free.
You set him free?
No, the fool was more clever than we thought. He pretended submission, and he was able to secure the Ushabti. I believe the one you have wrapped in your bag. At that point, our beloved master was again in the shadow.
Shobin?
Yes.
Am I to be involved in a cleansing ritual with the Ushabti so Shobin can return?
Not so simple, High Priestess. A death must occur here, and you must kill an unbeliever as proof of your sincerity.
Swinton Gold, my companion?
He is the one you have chosen.
Yes, he is the one I have chosen.
Then we shall prepare you.
But what of my mother?
She lives. She is well cared for.
But first I must see her. Talk to her.
It cannot be done.
You waste time. I am Shobin's last hope. Fulfill my wishes, or I shall not participate voluntarily.
High Priestess, if you are lying, you will die.
Monday, Mother, on the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 11 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
The priest of the Temple Cam led Minerva to the basement chamber, where in a dark, unlit cell, a frail Indian woman swayed back and forth, illuminated by a shaft of moonlight.
Mother! It's Minerva, your daughter!
My child.
Oh, I never knew you were alive.
Oh, how cruel, how cruel. I'm blind, child. I can't see you. Come closer. Let me touch you. Let me touch you.
No touching. You have seen her. It is enough.
I will not move until I am allowed to touch her.
Your demands grow endless, Minerva. Very well.
Oh, Mother, Mother. Oh, you are so frail. Are you well?
I am consumptive. They keep me drugged. I have not heard of you since you were a baby. I often wondered if you were dead or alive. How did you find me?
Dr. Watson, Mother, I will have you out of here very soon. I promise.
It is too late for me. Chobin will never allow it. Look for yourself, child. Treachery, treachery. Believe not what they promised you. Everything is reversed. Remember, reversed.
Quiet. It is enough. You try my patience.
Is your father still alive? Is Mr. Holmes alive?
No, Mother, he's dead. And Dr. Watson and my stepfather, Rasna Gupta. He is dead. All dead.
You are all alone, and I am to blame.
No, Mother, no. It is the Englishman, Sherlock.
No, no, my child. Don't blame your father. He did his best. Now, go, and remember what I told you. Goodbye, my child. You have made me happy.
Come, you have seen your mother. It is time your friend has been prepared for the ritual.
While Minerva was saying goodbye to her mother, needless to say, my efforts at resistance were futile. I was trussed up and put on a spit like a roasted pig over an empty pan where, after being dismembered, my blood would flow into the pan. Curiously enough, I was worried more about Minerva than myself and regretted having failed her. She was thrust into this dilemma, I voluntarily chasing some Holmesian windmills. My fears proved premature when I saw Minerva being led to me by two Orientals. She was swathed in white linen, held an evil-looking dagger in one hand, and a stanchion wrapped in cloth in the other. She barely concealed from the others a wink she gave me, so confident and in command of the situation. She seemed that she cheered me in spite of my predicament.
Slay the unbeliever! Cut his throat and bathe your hands in his blood! With purity and the Ushamti, we will reunite Chobin with his car, and the golden key will unlench him from the death side. Chobin, our beloved master, will return.
Fools! Release Swinton. There's no Ushabichi, no key. Only illusions. You have put your master at a serious disadvantage, and unless you follow my orders at once, Chobin will forever be locked in the shadows. This package is not the Ushabichi. Or the golden key, but a stanchion. Here, see for yourself. You have defiled your temple and failed your master. And this point you feel at your back is a sword, which I will happily use if you do not follow my instructions.
You are Indian, but you have the soul of the English. Assassins, release Swinton. Minerva, believe me, you will never leave here alive. You have forgotten the kimono dragon. Not even I can control him. Submit, or the Eater of Heads will destroy you.
Tomorrow, vengeance on the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents episode 12 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Swinton, the mirror. Lay it flat. Position it so at the last moment the dragon will see himself. That's it, Swinton. The dragon is confused. He's tearing up the side of the car. Wrap it up. Down here. My mother.
Hurry, Minerva, hurry. Your mother, give her to me. I'll carry her.
Minerva, what happened? That terrible noise.
You are free, Mother.
Minerva, Holmes would be proud of you. Ooh, we're safe outside.
That wretched Englishman. Watch my mother. I'm going back into the temple.
What on earth for? It's suicide, Minerva.
It's carnage inside. The beast killed everyone. Blood is everywhere. I found the high priest who kept my mother captured these many years.
Dead?
No, his stomach ripped open.
You left him to die?
I prodded him with the sword and then...
Minerva!
Nothing, Swinton. He died of his wounds.
You're smiling, Minerva. In God's name, you didn't. You couldn't.
I couldn't.
We're English, Minerva, not heathens, not savages.
He was going to force me to kill you.
Yes, but we are Christians.
At any rate, Swinton, trust me, I didn't.
I did not believe Minerva. It was the first of her cruelties to vanquished felons. I was repulsed by her cruelty and her lack of candor. Perhaps I should have left her then. But she had proven herself to be, if not as methodical and steady as her father, just as resourceful. Oh, Minerva, triumphant, looked lovely and strong-willed in her white dotty pants and sorry jacket, a parasol gripped firmly in her hand, and a simple blue shawl covering her hair. Perhaps I thought I could make her understand that we English were a civilized people and never executed the vanquished for revenge. Justice was meted out by our courts, and the courts were the pillar of our civilization. Morally, I acquiesced, conflicted perhaps, because I knew in a strange way she needed me, and I allowed that emotion to blot out whatever else I was feeling. We returned to my flat in Northumberland's section of London. Without delay, I summoned a physician for her mother, who was then given a thorough examination and found to be suffering from consumption. The medicine the doctor prescribed put her mother to sleep, and Minerva and I, exhausted, fell into a trance-like sleep. Minerva on the couch and I on the chair. Prior to our sleep, we focused on tomorrow and what lay ahead. She told me she now knew the riddle of the key, but she needed to talk to her mother to fit the final piece in place. That we had seized the upper hand in our confrontation with Chobin. Confidently, she said, we now had the initiative. Before nodding off to sleep, Minerva touched my hand reassuringly and laid her palm on the back of my hand and murmured,
Swinton, I am sorry about the priest. I know your sensibilities. Forgive me.
Before I could answer, she was sound asleep, her hand still on mine. Well, I thought we would see it through together.
Tomorrow, Sherlock and Lakshima on the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents episode 13 of its copyrighted production of The Adventure of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
The following day, Minerva, her mother, and myself awoke from a deep and troubled sleep. The three of us ate a hearty breakfast of bread pudding, sausage, and tea. After resting quietly in front of the fireplace for several hours, Minerva finally broke our silence.
Mother, you must tell me how you met Sherlock Holmes and Chauvin.
There is so much to tell. I never thought I would live to see the day I would be able to talk with you about how your father and I met. And, my dear child, how you were conceived. Our meeting was not orthodox. And in India, as you know, we as women have little control of our destiny. Our destiny is to serve our fathers, then our husbands, and finally our sons. At the age of 3, I could find the square roots of 30-digit numbers in my head. I could read the ancient languages of Sanskrit and Medai, and I could chant the lost magic incantations of Kamana, our local deity. Minerva, I could discern a person's thoughts, anticipate their next move. That is why Chauvin had me blinded, for without my eyes I lost the power of that gift.
Perhaps we should delay in the telling of the story. You're still recovering from your ordeal.
Mother, you must continue. Our lives depend on it.
As I grew older, my gifts, my powers became unmanageable. Sometimes I would pass a table and all the silver objects would arrange themselves toward me. The villagers thought I was a witch, and trouble began for my father and our family. My father loved me dearly, but he was concerned that these undisciplined and inexplicable gifts could cause harm to befall our family. So he contacted the English viceroy of Pradesh, and together they decided I should have an English education in England, where my gifts could be examined and appreciated. For an Indian female child, this was unheard of. But I did not want to leave my father. For 2 days, I wept unconsolably and was successful in delaying my departure for 2 years. By then, I was 18 years old, and Sherlock Holmes, the famous English detective, was in India on a field trip investigating the properties of muscle-relaxing herbs. When he heard of my abilities to discern thoughts, he implored my father for me to give him a demonstration. I played with him. He was so cold and logical and ordered and fearful of his own passions and of woman. Indian woman. No, it was easy to seduce him. Soon all his resolve left him and he became enamored, then in love, quite madly so. He actually asked my father for permission to marry me. Of course my father said no, but by then it was too late. I was pregnant with you, Minerva. Our whole lives changed. We laid plans to run away to England, and we told no one. Your father rejoiced in knowing he would have a child, and he wondered what the result of our union would be. At any rate, when my pregnancy became apparent, father was not angry. He was terrified. Finally, he told me he would never see me again. He bundled me off to England with Mr. Holmes in tow. Mr. Holmes was a different Sherlock Holmes in England. Due to the English caste system, he said it was best our relationship be kept secret. We did not live together, but he paid for all my expenses. As I came to term, he grew pensive and moody and never talked about the child. Then one day it happened. Mr. Holmes came to me flustered, his pistol drawn, and said, "Don't pack. We must move immediately." When I asked him why, he said, "Tobin. And if the child and I were to survive, we must go into immediate hiding." I loved your father dearly. I knew that whatever it was that frightened him, he acted in our best interest. Mr. Holmes took me to a cottage in North England where, on a beautiful January morning, you were born. The most beautiful baby I'd ever seen. It was also the first time I saw Tobin. He had returned, he said, from the shadows, and he was here to kill my child.
Tomorrow, Tobin, on the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents Episode 14 of its copyrighted production of The Case of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Minerva's mother, Lakshima, continued her narrative on her meeting with Chobin.
He was a little man, 3 feet tall, a caricature of a man with a long, flowing red robe, mystic signs, and full and half crescent moons, and glittering sequin stars on his turban. A twisted dagger he held menacingly in his hand. "The child," he said, "give me the child at once." When I refused him, he prepared to strike. I twisted out of his reach, and the knife flew from his hand and clapped flat, harmlessly against me. He was outraged. He called me an Englishman's whore in Hindi and pulled a small caliber pistol from his robe. It was then I saw your father striding behind him, clasp him about the neck and take the pistol away from him and fling the little man halfway across the room. Tobin ran out of the room and out of the cottage. That night, Mr. Holmes told me a dark story while we were en route to a new hiding place in London. It will clear up many things for you, Minerva.
Mother, you must be tired.
No, I want to finish. Mr. Holmes was asked by the Viceroy of Uttar Pradesh to come to our village to investigate a series of heinous murders which alarmed the crown. The victims were English tea farmers and the Indian ruling class. The victims' bodies were mutilated by men who called themselves the Assassins of Tai, who were horribly ritually mutilated themselves. When, on occasion, they were captured, they would commit suicide or strangely perish while in captivity. Before dying, they would swear fealty to Tobin, the magician who crosses the barriers of death. The crown was alarmed because the Assassins of Tai cult and general revolt was growing in northern India, threatening England's position in northern India and all of Asia. Tobin had to be stopped. At the crown's urgent request, Mr. Holmes entered the case, using as cover a search for a muscle-relaxing herb. With his typical disdain for English phenomena and his total reliance on rational explanation of what was occurring, your father methodically traced Tobin and his assassins to his lair in the mountains. There he repaired with a company of English officers and sepoy soldiers. In one titanic battle, the assassins fell upon the soldiers who in reality set an ambush for the assassins. The outcome of the day-long battle was the destruction of both armies and the mortal wounding of Tobin. Your father followed Chobin's blood trail to a secret mountain cave where they fell upon each other. And Mr. Holmes, being the stronger, killed Tobin, seemingly again and again, only to have him reappear. Mr. Holmes, weakened by the prolonged death struggle, in a flash of intuition took an innocuous-looking Egyptian ushabti that seemed to change positions each time the little man reappeared. Chobin's reappearances abruptly stopped. Your father kept possession of the ushabti, and the revolt ended. In a secret ceremony, Mr. Holmes was awarded England's highest civilian medal by the Queen personally. And it was rumored that Chobin swore revenge on your father, his heirs, and the royal family.
Tomorrow, epilogue of the case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents episode 15 of its copyrighted production of The Case of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Minerva's mother finished her story. A strange history became apparent. I realized the end of the game was near.
Mother, am I correct to assume that to free Chobin from the death side, they have to kill all three of us together, with the ushabti as a witness that Chobin had purged his bloodlines?
Preposterous!
Yes. That is why Mr. Holmes never contacted us directly. He did not want to risk leaving any clues to our whereabouts. He knew, and I made him agree, that without the three of us and the ushabti together, we were relatively safe.
Chauvin's assassins then captured you as a hostage for the other two parts. And your father never told of your whereabouts, as I made him swear.
And that is why Mr. Holmes went from time to time to view the ushabti in the Briny Inn, where he had put it in full public view. If it was still there, he knew we were still alive and well. It was his only way of knowing of our welfare.
Oh, he must have suffered monstrously. Minerva! With us all together.
Yes, Swinton. Everything is in place for Chauvin's assassins to kill us and return their master from the death side. There's no reason for you to stay, Swinton.
They certainly would not leave me alive as a material witness.
I'm afraid you are correct, Mother. We are the Golden Key. In order for Chauvin to return from the shadows, he needs the ushabti and the three of us killed in the prescribed ritual.
Yes, my child.
Monday, Retribution, on the Case of the Golden Key. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents episode 16 of its copyrighted production of The Case of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
The lights, they went out.
I see you do not have the key.
There is no key.
You mock, Chobin. You, your mother, and the Englishman will not leave here alive.
So be it.
Minerva!
Yes, the Englishman has sense. There is another way.
And?
You and your mother must return to India at once or suffer the consequences.
And what will become of Swinton?
He will be free to live his life unmolested as long as he says nothing. Should he utter one word, all of you will be killed.
How will this help you return from the death side?
It is no longer necessary for me to have the key. The reunification of you and your mother has put two pieces in place. In India, I shall have the third.
That's it. And you, Chobin, or shall I say Dr. Watson, please come from behind the curtain. Is my stepfather Asna Gupta to return with us?
How did you know?
Dr. Watson! My God, it is you! Why? Why?
I am ashamed.
Explain yourself, man. This is despicable.
I had to do it. For England. When Holmes told me he had fathered a child with an Indian woman, I saw it as the end of Holmes' legend as I had chronicled it. the noble Holmes. Every Englishman went to bed proud to be English, because Holmes represented everything civil, good, and sound about our civilization. An affair with an Indian woman? Preposterous and immoral. An Indian heir to the Holmes legend would put an end to it. I couldn't let that happen.
It wasn't up to you, Doctor.
It was my decision. There would be no Holmes if it weren't for me. I had no intention of letting a lifetime of work and devotion be destroyed by one indiscretion. The only way I could save it was to continue the superstitious beliefs that Holmes had brought back from India, beliefs totally against his scientific mind and methodology. The story he told you, you already know. It made Holmes moody and abusive. The case meant nothing to him anymore, only his wife and child. With Chobin seemingly thwarting Holmes at every turn, I suggested my good friend Russ Dasgupta, a poor aspiring Indian merchant who could raise Holmes' daughter anonymously, safe from the assassins who hounded Holmes' mind and actions.
Did he agree at first?
No, but I hounded him. Eventually he agreed. He went so far as to leave a sizable inheritance for you with Russ Dasgupta as your guardian. The scoundrel invested money unbeknownst to Holmes and myself. At first he made a good investment, and then he lost it all. He even went so far, without my knowledge or consent, to arrange for your murder and your mother's with the priest of Kamana while you were at the temple.
And the assassin who came to my house?
A clever actor we engaged. Russ Dasgupta also had the handsome driver pretend he was killed in our stage accident outside your door. It was all an act. No harm was intended. My only motive was to get you and your mother out of England, and even arranged a stipend to be sent to India to keep you, of course, in Holmes' name. This affair would have ended amiably for all concerned. Now, I am ruined. Holmes' reputation is ruined. Suicide is my only alternative.
It is not necessary, nor even a viable solution. I have my mother, which is what I want, and you have your chronicles. And, may I add, a permanent retirement and a safe footnote in history. If Swinton agrees, nothing more need to be said nor done about this sad affair. It is my decision that you may return to your retirement, unmolested by arrest, on condition it is a permanent retirement. As for my mother and I, we will make our way. The world now knows there is a Minerva. A Minerva who wishes to live anonymously, and to live to restore her mother to health. I have not the least interest in sleuthing, a vocation I deplore. The world will remember us as an odd embellishment in Sherlock Holmes' life, one that is not entirely out of character.
Tomorrow, the end. Call Telephone Network Theater. Telephone Network Theater presents episode 17 of its copyrighted production of The Case of the Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.
Minerva's wishes were not meant to be. Dr. Watson, old and in disgrace, returned to his retirement. I, about to lose Minerva forever, questioned her on how she knew Chobin had in reality been Dr. Watson. Her answers revealed a humorous parody of the Holmes method that did not take into account her natural intuitiveness. You're really going to retire?
I want this whole affair to die. I have a mother to care for, and I want a quiet, sedentary life for her. After all she has been through.
I understand. But when?
When? What?
Did you decide it was Dr. Watson and not Chobin?
Every English-educated schoolboy and girl knows Sherlock Holmes smoked black tobacco in his pipe, and Dr. Watson smoked Bradley Oxford cigarettes. Well, Dr. Watson carelessly left his recently smoked cigarette at the Holmes Museum. Aspirin Sadie said he never visited the museum. She was emphatic on that. Since Dr. Watson directed me there, I knew he had prescribed a path for me to follow.
Was it that easy?
No, I did not know what his motive was until he revealed he wanted my mother and I to return to India.
Did you feel at any time we were in danger?
Not from Dr. Watson. Being a physician and a mild-mannered man, I knew he would not stoop to murder. He had no belief in the supernatural. However, he had hoped by reviving the cult of Shobin, he would frighten my mother and I into returning to India, thus achieving his aim of safeguarding the home's reputation and legend.
And what about Shobin? Is he alive?
A Shobin, if ever one existed, is dead. His method would have been ruthless and direct. After all, he would have had frightening powers. The cult of Shobin and his assassins was basically an Indian peasant revolutionary response to British colonial rule, doomed to failure because of England's greater force.
No, my child. Shobin is alive.
Mother, for your time, one does not return from the dead. The Ushabti, the temple, the assassins, are all ritual mesmerizing paraphernalia, props and icons used by the Ramana priests to keep the legend of Shobin alive.
He is alive. Shobin is alive.
I had no fear of the priest once he proclaimed me a priestess. He could not kill us easily. So it was for me to pick a time to destroy him. Mother, it was you who gave us the method. The mirror reverses everything.
Sherlock Holmes would have applauded you.
Perhaps he would. Now, my dear Swinton, in the end, you would not have wanted to be the chronicler of an Indian woman detective and the gossip that would follow us. I will miss you.
You've given me pleasure, Minerva.
Goodbye, dear Swinton.
And with that, we parted company. Minerva and Lakshima to the house that Ras Dasgupta fled in fear of criminal prosecution. I fell to the depths somewhat, becoming a frequenter of London pubs and a raconteur of the case of the Golden Key. Minerva was the high point in my life. Nothing less than being with her would satisfy me now. Then, one day, an ad in the London Times caught my eye. It read, "Swinton, the missing whippet. Please contact Minerva." For an instant, I said, no, no. But another case! Oh, my heart overruled my head. I rushed to Minerva's house, where I found Minerva and her mother almost destitute.
An Indian woman alone is unemployable for other than a chambermaid in England. So to eat, I have taken a case, one that will provide us with enough money to return to India. It is a simple, straightforward case. A bronze statue of a whippet has disappeared from Lady Farquharson's mansion. It is a treasured heirloom that has been in the family for generations. She has offered me a generous reward for its safe return. I would like you to assist me, and I believe that you are the right person for it.
You have been listening to the final episode of Telephone Network Theatre's production of The Golden Key, directed by Elwoodson Williams.